So on gut feeling, I was like, well, shoot, I've been in, you know, I've worked at clothing stores, I've been in sales. I would approach the guy that has a crappy briefcase because he needs a new one.
Uh-huh.
And what I found out was that's a completely wrong answer. Uh-huh. And that the salesman actually approached Michael Masterson, who had the new one, first, and he actually that day made a sale on Michael Masterson. He was actually able to sell Michael a brand new briefcase when the other guy walked out and hadn't bought a thing.
Wow.
And the reason for it is this. He basically said that the best time to sell someone something is when they just bought something.
Okay, yeah.
And I, you know, the psychology behind it, I guess I don't understand too much, but I tell you, I've tried it, and it works like a charm. It's because it's fresh in their mind, they're excited about it, they're pumped up about it. And in the example of Michael, it's clear that the guy who has a crappy briefcase does not care about his briefcase.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Michael, who has the trendiest one, obviously he seems to have a thing for briefcases.
Right.
So all the salesman has to say is, hey, look, that thing's already outdated. We got a brand new one. Check this one out.
Great.
And he's already hooked Michael. Michael will say, shoot, I'm already out of date. Heck that. I'm buying a new one. So that's a great point. If you're going to upsell someone anything,
uh-huh.
try to do it within a few days of them having bought their original thing.
So how do you do that? Do you that? I mean, they buy the original $30 ebook, then do you send them an email right away and say, thanks for buying the ebook? Here's something else you should look at, or how do you go about doing that?
Usually what you do is you'll contact them right away, definitely, mm-hmm. just to say thank you.
Okay.
And you'll just, you know, you'll contact them and say, look, I noticed that you bought this. Thanks a lot. And then what you'll do is wait. It really depends on the product and the niche.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, I waited 2 days.
Okay.
To sell the service, and the reason was, I want to give them 2 days to fumble around with it.
Okay.
And they're going to learn that I'm going to get them right when they're frustrated.
Right.
When they're like, God, I don't get this.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, an email comes from me saying, hey, you want me to do it for you? And it's like, for them, it's like a godsend. They're like, oh my God, thank you. Yeah,
right.
Do it. I don't want to do this anymore. And in the case of, like, for example, the resume writing, exactly the same thing. Just give them 2 days.
Uh-huh.
They're going to read the book. They're going to try to write their own.
Yeah.
And they're going to get confused, and they're not going to know if they're doing it right, and all of a sudden you get an email saying, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
However, in the case of, like, you know, a real estate seminar, it might take more than just one contact. You might have to wait 2 days and then say, hey, look, this is interesting, check it out. Okay, that's a really light sell. Then maybe a week later you send them another email saying, hey, did you check it out? And then maybe 2 weeks later then you start really selling them and saying, oh, I'll give you $150 off or...
Yeah.
Yada yada. So it really depends. What matters usually is how expensive is it, and also how much trust do you need to develop before you can try to sell it.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, always follow up at least within a couple of days with some form of hint.
Uh huh.
So that you kind of whet their appetite about it.
Excellent. So how, on the practical side of things, how do you transfer people from being a prospect to being a customer? Now you have a list of people who are interested in golf. We'll use your golf example. And first of all, they're in your e-zine. You have the list of people in your e-zine. But now, suddenly, a person buys a $2,000 golf club from your online store.
Uh-huh.
So now that person has transferred from being a prospect into being a customer. So you're going to follow up with him differently now because you're going to try and sell him a golf or a course on learning how to golf better, for example.
Sure.
Are you still going to leave him as a prospect in your e-zine, or are you going to just take him out of your e-zine and put him into your customer base?
Well, I leave him in both.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I have my e-zine, which is like the free e-zine, and the same promos go out to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my second e-zine, which is set up so that every time someone buys something, they're automatically included into that e-zine.
Okay, and that's all done with autoresponders?
Yes, but that's more of a merchant thing.
Okay.
So that wouldn't apply really to affiliates because the problem with affiliates is that, you know, like, for example, ClickBank,
mm-hmm.
they'll tell you the email address of the person who bought through your link.
Right, yeah.
So it's easy to start following up.
Uh-huh.
But most affiliate programs, especially in niches that are selling physical products,
mm-hmm.
The merchant is smart. They don't give you any contact information about that person.
Right, yeah.
So you have to get a little bit slick in the sense that, okay, you have to give them special deals. You have to say, if you buy this, mail me email me your sale ID number,
uh-huh.
and I'll send you a free I don't know, free something.
Yeah.
Or I'll send you, you know, $50 back. Like if I just sold a really expensive product, my commission was $200.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll send them $50.
Right. Yeah.
And that gives them a lot of motivation to come back and let me know that they bought it.
Yeah.
And in that case, once they let me know, okay, good. Now I'm going to follow up and sell you some more stuff.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's some cases as a merchant, just in case people are interested.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple of sites where what I do is they go into a 7-day series,
uh-huh.
and if by the end of the 7th day they haven't bought anything,
mm-hmm.
what I might give them a $10 discount.
Okay.
To try to convince them to buy. And what happens, though, is if someone has bought something during those 7 days,
yeah.
I don't want them to get that email.
Right.
And then they're going to get upset and say, what the heck? I just bought it, you know, 3 days ago for a regular price.
Yeah.
So in those cases, I have the system set up to take them out
okay.
of the e-zine and put them into a different e-zine.
And is that an automated system?
Yeah, that is an automated system. But once again, that's for merchants. That's not for affiliates.
Sure, sure. But what do you use as an automated system?
What's the website? It's a program done by Kaviraj Kodai. He's very popular for that stuff. I think it's Ultimate.
Ultimate Affiliate Manager.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimate Affiliate Manager. That's what I use for that.
Same as me.
Yeah, I love his system.
Yeah.
I just like Kavi overall. He's a great guy.
He is, and he's very, very service oriented.
Very, exactly. I mean, I've never seen someone. He's 10 times better than me, and I take that. You know, that to me sucks because I try to be the best, but
yeah.
I can't outdo that guy. I don't know how he does it, but he does it somehow.
I think he's alive or awake 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
He answers my emails within an hour.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, he's so eager. What I love about him is he's so eager to say, well, just give me your, you know, instead of asking, like, I'll ask him how to do something.
Yeah.
The email response back to me will say, I already did it. Thanks. So,
yeah.
Like, I logged into your system. I fixed it for you. Don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Definitely. So if anyone's looking for an affiliate program, that's the one for you.
Absolutely. You have two recommendations. from both of us.
Right.
Back on the affiliate side of things, if you had to pick one single most important thing that an affiliate marketer has to do to be successful, what would it be?
Did you say one or two? I'm sorry.
One.
One, okay. Search engine optimization.
Okay, now two.
Okay, because we already discussed that, that's why. Huh? Second most important thing that an affiliate has to do. Well, you know, this is going to sound really corny, and I know no one's going to like this answer, but patience.
Uh-huh.
It's just the avenue that I see missing in a lot of affiliate marketers. They just want money now, here.
Yep.
And if you were to give me number three, I would say be willing to invest money into advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh my God, has my business blown up since I started buying advertising.
Now, where do you go?
I was never a believer. I'm sorry?
Where do you go to find good places to advertise?
It all depends on your niche. It really all depends on the niche you're doing. I love e-zine ads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge believer of buying solo ads and classified ads and stuff like that. I like pay-per-click, but pay-per-click is tricky.
Uh-huh.
And I think someone who, before you ever go into pay-per-click stuff, I really recommend reading up on it.
Uh-huh.
And, for example, like if you're an Affiliate Classroom member, before you even start your pay-per-click campaign, we have like a 10-page step guide
uh-huh.
that really walks you through it so that you know what you're doing before you start. But buying traffic from places such as, solo ads, e-zines, buying links or banners on websites,
mm-hmm.
the way you do that is, if let's say you have a niche on golfing,
mm-hmm.
then you just go to Google and you type in golfing and you see some of the first sites that come up and then you look for a link on them that says advertising
uh-huh.
and you just check out their rates. How much do they charge for a banner? How much do they charge for a link? And the best thing I love is some of them have testimonials
yeah.
from different advertisers and then you can click on that advertiser's link and go to their site
uh-huh.
and then I shoot them an email. I just shoot the advertiser an email and say, hey, look, I hope you don't mind me asking, you know, how did your advertisement on this site work out?
Yeah.
Were you really that happy with them? Are you still happy with them? Are you still using them?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I find that most of the time, people are pretty, even if you're considered their competition,
uh-huh.
They're pretty genuine. They pretty get back to you and say, yeah, it's been pretty good, or no, I don't do it anymore.
All right, okay.
So it's a good way of kind of testing the waters before you just go out and buy a $100 banner.
Right. So how do you test? If you're doing a solo ad, then how do you go about testing your solo ads to make sure that the ad is actually pulling the way that you want it to?
You mean before you actually buy it?
Yeah, if you can actually test it before you buy it, and then during the process as well.
There's two ways. All right, one way I do is, of course, one of the ways to test anything beforehand is check up on their references,
mm-hmm.
for the people who have bought it before.
Mm-hmm.
Second way to do it is most e-zines who sell solo ads,
yep.
will sell a classified ad,
uh-huh.
or a top sponsor ad, they call it.
Okay.
So what I might do is, instead of buying, if I'm really shady about it, and if there's really a big price difference between the solo ad and the classified ad,
mm-hmm.
I might buy the classified ad first,
okay.
or the top sponsor ad, because it's cheaper, so there's less money at risk,
uh-huh.
and then I'll just wait and see. If it produces results, then hands down guarantee the solo ad will produce results.
Okay. Now, how do you test the actual copy in your ad?
Oh, okay. Yeah, this has been the one thing that's been a bit, you know, how do you really test, because there's so many elements into the solo ad. First of all, how many people read it?
Yeah.
Second of all, how many people click it?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many people buy at the end? So one of the things I've noticed is that if you're doing an ad, here's some tips.
Uh-huh.
The headline or the subject line that the merchant sends out
mm-hmm.
is just critical.
Okay.
That's what's going to get people to open the email. And what I like to use short, catchy headlines, and I like to put numbers in them.
Okay.
For example, when I promote Affiliate Classroom, my solo ads will say something like, let's say I'm promoting it in an e-zine called Rim Digest.
Mm-hmm.
It'll say, 10 new Rim Digest students wanted limited offer.
Okay.
So that's pretty, you know, that's pretty much in their face saying, oh, I better open this thing up.
Huh?
Versus something stupid like, you know, learn how to make money online.
Yep.
You know, how many times have you seen that? So the subject is, it's a huge thing. And then your actual ad, I used to believe that a long story type of ad works better.
Yeah.
But I tested it and found out the short stuff works a lot better.
Okay.
Because really what you want them just to click the link.
Yeah.
And you want to let your page do the selling. You don't want to do the selling on the actual ad.
Right.
So what I've done is usually my ads now are just maybe 5, 6, 7 paragraphs.
Okay.
And they're kind of a story. They're not really a hard sell.
Uh-huh.
They're more of a, oh, if you want to learn how I did this, this, and this, you should click. Or, for example, like if you were in the golf niche,
yeah.
you could say, oh, learn how a guy named Pete improved his, putting average by XYZ by using this new revolutionary putter.
Uh-huh.
Read the whole story here, and you know, I guarantee you golf people will click that link.
Exactly. No,
so
that's good.
In the end, testing it really it's kind of hard, especially as an affiliate. So really, the only element you have to test it is, okay, how much money did I make, and then you can use a ad tracker to see how many clicks you got.
Uh-huh.
But to see your conversion rates is kind of hard because most merchants won't let you put stuff on their pages.
Right. Yeah.
So they won't, you know, but a lot of merchants might tell you what your conversion rate is on the site. For example, my affiliate program, if you send me 100 clicks and you get 2 sales, or if you get 4 or 5 sales, it'll tell you, okay, look, you're converting at 4%.
Excellent.
So that's how you can pretty much track different forms of ads.
So once you've got an ad that you've tested and an e-zine happens to be working well for you, do you run a campaign of solo ads in the e-zine then? Or do you just leave it at one and then move on to the next e-zine?
No, you always... I'm still playing with that, so I don't think I'm a huge, you know, I don't think I'm a big source to talk about it. My personal experience so far shows that you wait a few weeks and you do it again, it's pretty much the same results.
Okay.
And actually, slowly you might see an increase in results. It's a known fact in marketing that someone needs to see something 7 to 8 times
uh-huh.
before they buy it.
So are you running the exact same ad?
No, I usually tweak it around a little bit.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen the difference. I've tried running the same ad also,
mm-hmm.
and I see like the same, pretty much the same numbers pulling.
Okay.
So.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I'll usually tweak it a little bit just for testing purposes.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Now the next thing that kind of works in with all the email talk is, you read any of the gurus type. type information. And they say that your own opt-in list is the most important thing that you have. Now, as an affiliate, how can I build an opt-in list?
Oh, well, if you have your own website,
mm-hmm.
pretty much where if you're going to use the system I've talked about, you pretty much have to have some form of website.
Yeah.
Opt-in is really, it's very simple nowadays to put up. You just need to get an autoresponder service.
Mm-hmm.
And then just choose a topic to focus your easing on. We'll go back to the golfing example,
mm-hmm.
just because we're on that. And, you know, you can have an easing that goes out once a week, and you just give golfing tips. And, you know, so, you know, from the technical side of it, it's very easy. It's just getting an autoresponder service, which, you know, costs anywhere between, I don't know, $5 to $20 a month, depending on what service you get.
Yeah.
And you just put a bunch of code, you know, you just put some code on your page, and it creates this little opt-in box. And then you just create a little promotional piece saying, okay, why should someone join your email list? And at that point, you know, it's, okay, your responsibility to handle the week-to-week content.
So then everything basically is on runs on autopilot except for you writing a content piece once
exactly.
a week.
Exactly. Yeah. And some people who don't want to do a week-to-week easing, they say, well, I don't want an autoresponder. Well, I disagree. What I recommend you do at that point is sit down for a week
mm-hmm.
and just create, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 messages.
Yeah.
And I'm using a very extreme example. You can do as few as 5 or you can do 20 or 30.
Uh-huh.
And so this is no longer a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a course.
Right, okay.
And you get them to opt into it for free. And what you've done is you've already put it into the autoresponder.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next, I don't know, how many of your weeks or months,
uh-huh.
they'll keep getting your emails.
Uh-huh.
And you're not doing anything. And you don't have to keep it up to date. Once they're done with your 20 or 30 course,
uh-huh.
you know, or even 5 or 10 course, then that's it, they're done.
Okay.
You know, they'll still stay as a member of your newsletter. So if one day all of a sudden you have a great product and you want to send out an email, well, then you've got a sitting base of customers you can use. But, you know, so you don't have to do week-to-week publishing. Just write a few messages. You'll still see some form of increase in conversion, and at least you'll be building a list.
Right. That's excellent. Now, what would we're mentioning kind of the, you know, what would you do on a weekly basis? What's a good routine for somebody who's an affiliate to follow on a daily basis? What should they be focusing on?
You know, it's a tough question to answer, primarily because, you know, everyone is so different and the niches are different. You can tell I'm becoming a huge advocate of content.
Huh?
So I think if you're a truly true affiliate, I think you should be focusing on recruiting content. And that doesn't mean you have to write it. There's a lot of article directories
yeah.
online. For example, you can go to goarticles.com
mm-hmm.
and you can pick up articles on all sorts of niches. Or you can go to ezinearticles.com.
Uh-huh.
And so if you don't want to write your own thing, you can go out and get an article from them
right.
and add it to your site. The only thing they require is that, yeah, whoever wrote it, you need to give a mention of him in the article.
Right, yeah.
At the bottom, they call it a resource box.
Uh-huh.
But it's still free content, and it's going to help you with search engine optimization, and it doesn't mean that you can't throw your own banners and your own ads around the article. You know, just the actual end of the article, throw in their own, you know, throw in the person, the author's name, and
right.
his website link. So I think on a daily routine, you need to make sure that you're adding content to your site.
Uh-huh.
Another thing I'm a huge advocate of now is you need to be recruiting incoming link partners.
Okay.
Linking is no longer to me. I mean, I never believed people before,
mm-hmm.
but now that I talk to my friends who are SEO guys, they tell me that even better than search engine optimization is the traffic you get from the links.
Okay.
And, you know, one of my friends was telling me that his traffic just from the links is 5 times what his traffic from the search engine optimization is.
Wow.
So that is enough reason, and that's long-term traffic. Think about it. Once you recruit a link, it's there. I mean, you can go to vacation for a month, and you're going to be getting traffic from it.
So is it a link of just, you know, you get lots of traffic, or is it a link that's actually bringing you quality traffic?
No, it's a quality traffic because I'm only going to ask for a link from people who are in my niche.
Uh-huh.
So if I have a golfing website, I'm not going to go to a dog website and ask for a link back
right.
because You know, first of all, it's a waste. Most likely, the guy who I'm asking is going to say, "Are you crazy? I'm not going to link to you. You have nothing to do with me."
Exactly.
Second of all, surgeons are going to say, "What the heck is this?
Uh-huh.
This makes no sense to us." So, okay, there goes your ranking. And then, you know, third of all, yeah, it's just a waste of time. So I'm just going to focus on websites that are related to my niche. So it's actually very highly targeted traffic.
And then are you going to try and get links with direct competitors or people who are within your niche but not directly competing with you?
Most of the time, competitors won't link to you.
Right.
And another type of business that it's a waste to go after is if you're looking at, like, a corporate business.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might not get a link back from golf.com.
Right.
Because they might just be a corporate site.
Uh-huh.
And their point is they're just selling a bunch of drivers, and they're not doing search engine optimization because they don't need to do it.
Right, yeah.
They have enough people linking to them that they're already optimized. But another guy like you, who, let's say you sell putters, but he sells drivers.
Uh-huh.
So you're not really in competition. But you're catering. I mean, someone who's buying a putter will be very likely to want to buy a driver.
Right, yeah.
So, but you're not directly competing. And even if you are, you might have, you might cross-link some of the same products.
Uh-huh.
But, you still might get a link from them. But if you're a direct competition, then, yeah, probably not.
Okay. So, what do you have a kind of a list of what the hot markets are right now?
Yeah, I do. I wrote some stuff out. There's a bunch of hot markets, and it's the same ones. Right now, I've seen that, I personally saw and I've heard from people who do this is, new moms buy a lot.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a pretty good niche, like the parents and mom side.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Gardening has somehow always been a pretty good niche.
Okay.
And dating, you know what, I know so many people who are doing well in the dating industry. I just for some reason couldn't do it. But I'm still going to keep it as a hot niche because I know a lot of people who make good money with it. I'd say anything finance related, credit cards, loans, those niches are very competitive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're also competing against multi-million dollar industries.
Yeah.
But the reason that I think that it's a good niche is also because they pay out so well.
Right, yeah.
Real estate is an excellent niche,
uh-huh.
And it's one that I'm actually getting at. That's probably my next project, personally, get involved in.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I'm going to get bitten for saying this, but internet marketing still remains a good niche.
Okay.
I know massive amounts of competition, uh-huh. And it seems like everyone and their grandmom has a website about internet marketing.
Yeah.
But if you really can do a good job.
Uh-huh.
And you can come up with some kind of unique idea and a unique pitch,
uh-huh.
It's a very, very, it is a profitable market still.
So really what you need to do is within these markets, since they are good markets, there is a lot of competition as well, but you really need to kind of develop your USP or your unique selling principle and differentiate yourself as to exactly why you're different from anybody else in that industry.
Definitely.
And that's what you've done with affiliate classroom.
Yeah, most definitely. That's the most important thing in anything, whether you're going to be a merchant or an affiliate, is you've got to find your own unique edge.
Excellent. Now, Anik, we've got a whole bunch of questions. You and I both sent out emails to our lists to ask them what would they like to know about business and specifically affiliate business. Now, we've got a mixture of questions that are mm-hmm. half and half business and affiliate questions. But just before we get into that, I'd just like to know, what is a day in the life of Anik Singhal like? What happens?
A day in my life. Well, besides all the college and goofing around,
yeah.
If we focus on like what the business part of my day is like, I deal with a massive amount of emails.
Uh-huh.
And my thing with emails is I like to get to them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't, my God, they add up.
Yeah.
And then once they add up to a certain degree, I just don't want to answer them anymore. It's just too many.
It's a big mountain.
I'm sorry?
It's a big mountain.
Yeah. I think just in a constant, just during this time I've been talking to you, I made the mistake of opening Outlook Express. I just see a massive load of emails, and I'm just, like, looking at them like, oh, my God.
So this is something you do at the end of the day, then?
No, like I do it throughout the day, and this is a bad habit, and I listen to Frank Kern talk about it. He has a strict policy where he just does it in the morning of the day and in the evening.
Uh-huh.
But my thing is something always comes up in the evening.
Right.
Like a friend calls me up and says, "Oh, I'm going to such and such bar. Let's go." And I'm like, "Oh, screw the emails. I'm gone."
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs>
So I like to handle them as I go throughout the day. But if I'm working on something seriously, then yeah, I put aside email and I wait till I'm done with it.
Uh-huh.
So I do a lot of emails, and I love writing. Writing is one of my favorite things. So I'm actually will be writing my own content a lot of times,
uh-huh.
Especially in the whole internet marketing field. It's fun to write about because it just took so long to learn it. Now it's kind of neat to know stuff.
Exactly.
I do a lot of chatting with programmers. And my SEO guy, I spend a lot of time every day just chatting with my SEO guy,
uh-huh.
Getting project updates, and we have clients that we're working on, so I have to get completely updated.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, he's one of the savviest marketers I know, so I usually suck his brain dry for as much as I can get. So there's a lot of time, you know, right now I'm working with a programming team to build up the script I talked about for site building.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time with them. I also will, whenever I get a chance, if I'm not working on, you know, the other thing now lately I've been working a lot with is building content for Affiliate Classroom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it seems like I'm always doing some form of interview or something to put into that site.
Yeah.
And then if I have time left over from all of that stuff, I would love to start doing marketing in the sense of I start researching for new places to advertise.
Uh-huh.
For all various my various websites. And another thing I love doing is, and especially in the internet marketing niche, is I'll email new people.
Uh-huh.
So I might be on a forum. I say, "Oh, look at this guy. I've never talked to him before." So I'll go to his site, shoot him over an email. And this, for me, is just a networking tool.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I try to do it. I'm not too good about it, but I'm trying to get better about it. And last thing is, you know, trying to work with affiliates. I'm trying to... You know, considering we train affiliates on how to be affiliates, I think I should work hard on making sure that our own affiliate program is the best possible. So.
Right. Yeah.
So I've been spending a lot of time lately just working with our affiliates.
Excellent. That's super. Okay, I think we'll open up the questions and get things going. The first question is from Amar Mehta, and I think maybe that's a he. He says, how do you succeed as an affiliate with so much stiff competition, and what strategy do you adopt to become number one?
Okay, so what I would answer to that, first of all, it's a great question, and he's right. You know, most people, that's the number one concern is, how do I do it? There's so much competition. One way around it is you need an edge, like we talked about already. You need something unique about yourself that when someone comes to your site, they'll come back.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is focus on content. Because let's face it, on the internet, people are looking for information, and not all of them want to spend money immediately. So, focus on providing them some of the information for free at least, and then saying, "Look, you can get the rest here." So that's my form of what I call pre-selling.
Yep.
And I'm going to drill this one more time: have an upsell. You will have a lot more success if you have your own upsell, because then all of a sudden, one customer is worth 10. So you don't have to getting a new customer is hard, but selling the same one is easy.
Beautiful.
And what I've already said again is focus on search engines. If you are in a niche, you know, if you really want to dominate a niche, then and you really want to be a successful affiliate marketer, you can't do it without the search engines on your side.
Excellent. Next question we have is, it's an anonymous question. Wanted to know what affiliate marketing methods or strategies you have that you find are the most effective in building long-term passive income.
Okay, so when I say long-term, I'm assuming he means, or he or she means that, you know, something where I do some work for it now and then it pays off for long-term without me having to do work over and over for it.
Yep.
And so the number one thing is search engines. The reason is you'll spend a couple months, 3 months now working your brain off, but you're going to receive payment from that for years.
Uh-huh.
The next area would be to set up. Remember, I discussed earlier like that 20-part email message.
Yep.
So that when people come to your site, they sign up for it. What's happening is that 20-part email message might go out over the course of 6-7 months.
Uh-huh.
So during all that time, your autoresponder is actually sending promotional emails for you without you even knowing about it. Third strategy is link trading, and I talked about that already too. Links bring a lot of long-term traffic, so that's an excellent area. The fourth one I would say is maybe what you should do is focus on selling products that have a recurring income.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, selling membership sites. For example, if someone right now is an affiliate, promotes an affiliate classroom, and they get a member, mm-hmm. on the first tier, they're going to make $10 a month.
Okay.
On the life of that member.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's they can start making $1,000 a month by referring 100 members.
Right, yeah.
So all they have to do is sell 100 people one time instead of selling 100 people every month.
Right, yeah.
And the last one I always say is two-tier programs. And actually, I recently read a report done by Kevin Bidwell, and it was pretty good. And what he talks about is if you're a beginning affiliate marketer, an excellent strategy for you to do is to find two-tier affiliate programs and pump those people into your – what you do is, okay, you have no website, you have no email list, you have no money to advertise, you have nothing.
Okay.
So what I do is I find a second-tier affiliate program, and I go and I find people who have websites who have all of that stuff that I don't have, for example, a website or website traffic and money to advertise,
uh-huh.
and I just talk to them and say, hey, look, I noticed you have a website on this topic. Have you heard of this guy? He sells this service that maybe your guys would like,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I like his product, I have it or whatnot, and I think it's great, and I think you should try it out. What you're basically doing is that membership, that guy might say, oh yeah, it's good, and he might join under your link.
Right. Yeah.
At that point, he has a massive exposure, and you're making second tier commissions off of all of his work.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's a good way to set up some long-term income in the sense that once he's recruited under you, he's permanently now your second tier for life.
Right.
So whatever business he does, you'll get paid on it.
Excellent. And you don't actually need anything other than simply contacting the guy.
Yep, just email or phone him, and that's all you need.
Beautiful. Next question we have is from Marcus Ranger, and he wants to know, what is the most important piece of software for affiliate marketing?
You know, when I got that, I thought about it for a while,